But the message that I'd like to share together this morning is from the book of James. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks focusing on the book of James. I thought we'd start with chapter 1. Seems like a good place to start. Next week, look at chapter 2. And then the week after that, look at chapter 3. So, some words from chapter 1. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created. Know this, dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word implanted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately they forget what they are like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and keep the world from contaminating us. As I said, I thought we'd spend the next couple of weeks focusing on words from the book of James. And if I were going to summarize in 2 words what I think the message of James is, it's simply these 2 words: be doers. Be doers. All right, I tried to find a simple activity that we might all be able to do together. Are you ready to give this a try? All right, can we all hold our hands out in front of us? Now, turn your palms up and point a finger. Here's what I want you to do. Touch your nose. All right, now let's try touching our ear. Now let's try touching anywhere on your face. It's hard to do, isn't it? Did you find yourself wanting to touch your ear when I was touching my nose? Or touching... No? You didn't find yourself doing this when I was saying touch your face?
Did you have to practice?
I did. I actually ran that through a bunch of times. I was going to touch your face. No. My point is this. Most people will listen more to what you do than what you say. Actions speak louder than words. Which means if we want to share our faith in Jesus Christ, one of the ways that we can do that, or maybe the most important way that we witness to others, is in the way that we act. James has some good advice. Be doers. Have I told you before about the 3 frogs on the log? One of them decides to jump off. How many frogs are left? Still 3. Just because it decided to jump off doesn't mean that it actually did. There's a difference between deciding and doing, isn't there? The message is simple this morning. Be doers. There's a guy by the name of Scott Russell Sanders, who is an author and also an emeritus professor of English over at Indiana University. Grew up, I'm not sure what small town in Ohio, but he just says a small town in Ohio. He's got 2 new books that are coming out in 2016. One of his earlier books was called Writing from the Center. And in it, he told a story about the town that he grew up in. There was a prominent builder in town who was asked if he wanted to join the local volunteer fire department. He declined because he said, "What's in it for me?" I mean, he was polite and all, but he said, "My house is built out of brick. It was built relatively recently. It's built to code, and as far as I know it, it's pretty well fire resistant. Why would I have need of a fire department?" Well, lo and behold, you can probably guess what happened. His house caught on fire. The volunteer firemen showed up with their pumper truck and they said, "All right, now, before we turn the water on, do you want to reconsider whether you're willing to volunteer for the fire department?" They playfully offered it, but he took them up. Without hesitation, he said he'd be glad to join right then and there. They turned the water on and extinguished the fire. Sanders says he likes to tell that story for a couple of reasons. One was because his dad was part of the volunteer fire crew that showed up that day. The other reason is because he says it has something really important to teach us about being a part of a community. He says we should not have to wait until our houses are burning down before we see the wisdom of facing our local needs by joining in common work. We'd better learn how to live well together or we will live miserably apart. I like that, don't you? We better learn how to live well together or we will live miserably apart. So how do we live well together? What are some things that James actually has that are suggestions? I'd like to invite you to spend some time, if you'd like, looking through the book of James over the next couple of weeks. You'll find it about two-thirds of the way through the New Testament, nestled right in there between Hebrews and the letters to Peter. And the main question that he struggles with is the question of, what should I do? Be doers of the word, he says, and not merely hearers. What we know to be true in our hearts about Jesus should be lived out in the things that we do, especially in the way that we treat others. So who is James? You'd think that was a simple question, but actually it's a kind of hard question to answer. He introduces himself in the very first line of the letter by saying that he's James and introduces himself as a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, we know very little. There are two disciples who were named James. There is James, the son of Zebedee, and James, the son of Alphaeus. Both of them died fairly soon after Jesus was crucified, so it could have been either who didn't have much time to be writing letters. They would have had other things that would have probably been more pressing than writing letters. The most common idea is that this probably was James, the son of Alphaeus, who was the brother of none other than Jesus. One could suggest that he was even the first bishop of Rome because he was an important leader in the early church. And he is said to have been a person whose preaching was a lot like Jesus, a lot like his brother. I like this theory because the book doesn't focus so much on the divinity of Christ, but more on the humanity of Christ. And if it were being written by Jesus' brother, I would expect him to see Jesus more as a person than as the Son of God. It doesn't talk a lot about there, about Jesus being the one who came to save us of our sins or of being the Son of God or the one who will come back at the end of time. It talks more about faith in God and how we ought to live that out because of what Christ has done for us. It's for that reason, by the way, that Martin Luther, you know, the 16th century reformer, didn't like this very much, because Martin Luther's thing was that we were saved by grace through faith. And Martin Luther thought that the book of James lends itself to a works righteousness, that you could see in that that what we do earns God's favor. And so for that reason, Martin Luther called this book an epistle of straw. I like to see it more as a message of how we should live as a result of what Christ has done for us. I'd rather see the letter of James as being about how, because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we ought to be about doing work for others. I have two brothers, two younger brothers. One of them works for the DA in New York City, actually the Bronx. And the other one works for, he's a corporate consultant in LA. When we get together, though, do you think we talk about the crime rates in New York City? Or about the latest business trends in Los Angeles? You know what we get together when we talk about? We talk about how mom's doing. We talk about how the kids are doing. We talk about what the latest show my brother has seen is. And so I would expect that James would probably have a heart, if he was the brother of Jesus, of seeing Jesus as divine and talk about more the real life implications of who he was. All right, so what are some practical suggestions that James has that we ought to be doing if we're going to be doers? Here's one. He says, be quick to listen. It's kind of ironic, don't you think? He's talking about not being hearers, and the first thing he says we should be doing is be quick to listen. Unless you see there being a difference between hearing and listening. Don't you think there's a difference? Anybody can hear, but just because you hear the words that are being said doesn't mean that listening is more active. It means that you're thinking about what is being said. It means that you're paying full attention. Be quick to listen, James says. One of the commandments that God gives Moses and then that Moses gives us is that we ought to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, which comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which most people translate as being stop, pause, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, take a moment, rest. But actually, I think the idea is much more than that. I think honoring the Sabbath day is not just about stopping what we're doing and resting. It's about giving God our full attention. It's intended to be a day where we actually work harder at paying attention to God, where we give God our full attention, where we work a little harder at being nice to other people and be the people that we were created to be. Dr. Luke has a story about that. Jesus is traveling from one town to the other. He stops in on two sisters named Mary and Martha. One of them scrambling around. She's distracted, trying to get all the work done. The other one pauses to listen to what Jesus has to say. That one was Mary. Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better lot. Be like Mary. Don't you think these days we have a whole lot more to distract us than we ever have? We've got cell phones and computers and TVs and cars, and we've got the stock market who's doing who knows what, and the presidential campaign that there's always a twist in, and I could go on and on. How are you doing at listening? At really listening to the other people around you, and more importantly, to what Jesus is trying to say to you. The other night I was watching TV and I caught parts of an old movie called Being There. Have you ever seen this movie, Being There? Do you know Peter Sellers? Is that a name that you're familiar with? I think it's Peter Sellers' last movie. I was working on this sermon and I absolutely love the movie because it's about a person of marginal intelligence who, because he doesn't have a whole lot to say, the one skill that he's really good at is listening. And so when people talk to him, he'll often say things like, ah, uh-huh, or yes, I see. And that's about the extent of the conversation. But the people that he talks to thinks that he's absolutely brilliant. And so as the movie goes on, he keeps moving into progressively more important jobs until by the end of the movie, he's a consultant for a top government official. The point is good, I think. It makes a difference whether or not we are listening. All right, will you try another exercise with me to see whether this actually works? In your bulletin, you have a piece of paper. One of them is a flyer that has an announcement on it. The other one should be just blank. Let's find the piece of paper that's just plain blank. Now, I need everybody to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. You've got the piece of paper. Fold the piece of paper in half. Now, find the upper right-hand corner and tear the upper right-hand corner off. Now, fold it in half again. Now tear the lower right-hand corner. Now let's fold it in half again. Let's find the upper left-hand corner. Tear the upper left-hand corner off. Fold it in half again. And now let's tear the lower left-hand corner. Now let's unfold it and open our eyes. And is anybody willing to share the result of your work? What's it look like? Abby's got two separate pieces back there. So she really ripped it. You've got a little one in the middle and then some edges around the side. That kind of, Susan's got the middles and the corners. Looks like you've got the whole edge ripped off. Here's my point. We all heard the same instructions, didn't we? We all heard the exact same words, and yet we interpreted them and acted on them differently. Here's my point. If there was this much variety in interpreting a message on how to fold and tear paper, imagine how much difference there's going to be in how we live out the Word of God that comes to us in Jesus. How are you doing at listening to the people around you and listening to what Jesus is trying to say to you? It's good and important advice. Be quick to listen. What else? What else did James have to say to us about how we can live faithfully? He says, be slow to speak and slow to anger. That's a hard one, isn't it? Be slow to anger. Have you heard about the news reporter this week and the cameraman in Virginia who were shot by a former employee of the station? I'm not sure exactly what his name is. I think it was Bryce Williams, but he apparently has changed his name a number of different times. On live TV, shot this reporter and her cameraman, apparently because he was just mad at the news station for having fired him. This guy should have read James, shouldn't he? Be slow to anger. Jesus said it this way, if somebody hits you on one cheek, what should you do? Turn the other cheek. Mahatma Gandhi is attributed as saying, an eye for an eye just leaves the whole world blind. Did you hear about the guy who went out walking on the bike path? He was walking on the bike path kind of slowly, at a leisurely pace. Another guy came up behind him, and as he was walking by him, walking a little bit faster, bumped him. He thought that was a little bit curious, that he was bumped while he was walking along on the bike path. So he kind of naturally checked his pocket to see if his wallet was still there. When he reached his hand in the pocket, you know what he found? No wallet. Well, he was absolutely infuriated, and so he picked up the pace, ran to catch up with the guy, tapped him on the it wasn't really a tap, but he said, you took my wallet. Give me your wallet. So the guy reached in his pocket, gave him the wallet that was in his pocket. He took it, headed home. When he got home, he noticed two things. One is, the wallet that was in his hand wasn't his own. And the other thing is, there sitting on the counter of his house was inescapable conclusion he came to. He just mugged somebody. Jesus said, be careful of trying to take the speck out of somebody else's eye when you might have a log in your own. Before we react to what somebody else has done to us, we ought to make sure we've examined ourselves. If you're acting out in anger, be careful. It's probably true that nothing good can come of it. Do you have things that help you to calm down when you find anger rising up in you? Do you do the count to 10 thing? Do you go out and maybe go for a walk? I like to go for a drive. It's one of the other reasons I like to exercise. Going to the gym helps me to restore that sense of calm. It's important to listen, to really listen. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and what else? What else is something that we should do as a result of what we believe? James says, care for orphans and widows in their distress. The measure of how well we're doing at letting Jesus be Lord in our life is how we care for those who can't care for themselves. Jesus once asked, what good does it do you if you help out people who can only help you? Anybody can do that, and they're probably doing it just to look good in the eyes of other people. You should help out those who can't help themselves, and don't let anybody else know what you're doing. Then only God will know what you're doing, and your reward will be from God, and that's a good thing. This week, we're encouraging folks here at Faith Community to do that by being a part of a campaign called Imagine No Malaria. Hopefully, you've heard of it by now. There is a child dying in this world every 60 seconds because of malaria. And what's worse is that it is both preventable and treatable. And so as United Methodists, both here at Faith Community and around the country, we're standing up and we're saying, not on our watch. There's something we can do about it, and so we're going to do something about it. I went to the webpage imaginenomalaria.org and heard some stories there. Like, for example, there's a place called Tabernacle United Methodist Church in Washington State that was doing a vacation Bible school on a hero's theme. And they noticed that many of our superheroes wear capes and that those capes seem to provide them some protection. And so they made the analogy between that and giving kids mosquito nets to be able to protect them. This is what Reverend Heather Humphreys says. She says, we talked about the capes of superheroes and how nets are covering children in Africa and can protect them from mosquitoes and malaria. Our focus was on change and the small difference that we could each make. We raised money by collecting money from the boys and girls to see who could raise the most money. You want to guess whether the boys or the girls raised more money? The girls ended up winning. They raised in total about $300. There was also a story about a church in North Carolina that was making citronella soap and selling it as a fundraiser. At first I thought about it and sounded like a good idea, but then I thought, would I use citronella soap? I guess it would have the benefit of every time you smelled yourself, you'd reminded that the citronella helps keep away mosquitoes. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out. A little closer to home, we have a district superintendent in the Athens area named Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller likes to ride his motorcycle, and so he went on a motorcycle ride to raise money for Imagine No Malaria. He rode from Zanesville to the northern edge of Alaska, got sponsors, raised about $10,000, rode about 10,000 miles in 20 days. He got back a week ago Monday. I also read that the World Health Organization has just announced that they have found a vaccine for malaria. Now, that's a big step, but it can only be used in children under the age of 7 months and is only effective about half the time. So it's a step in the right direction, but it's still not going to solve the whole problem. Here at Faith Community, we've got two ways that you can be involved. One is, on Wednesday, there's going to be a dinner. The expenses of the meal have already been covered, so anything that anybody gives on Wednesday for the meal goes towards Imagine No Malaria. What day of the week is that? Wednesday. I hope you'll all be there. And the other is, on Saturday, there's going to be a walk and roll, a ride or walk or skate or however you get from point A to point B in order to save lives. In the year 496, there was a French king by the name of Clovis who heard about Christ and thought he might want to be baptized and so decided to find out a little bit more about the Christian faith. He went to an Easter service and heard the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And his response then was to say, if I were there when Christ were crucified, I'm a king after all, I would have mustered my troops and I would have kept him from dying. They decided he needed to learn a little more before he was ready to be baptized. So he kept going to church and kept learning about Christ. And he came to the point where he heard the story of Jesus' death and resurrection and decided, if I'd been there, I'd have helped care for Jesus' mother. But they still decided he needed to grow in his faith, and so he kept going to church. He heard the story about Jesus' death and resurrection again, and finally got to the point where he said, if I had been there, I would have climbed up on the cross with Christ. And it was then that they decided he was ready to receive baptism. What will you do differently this week because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? Will you be quick to listen? Will you be slow to anger? Will you help care for widows and orphans in their distress? You know that the word has gone from being implanted in your heart when it causes you to do something differently than you would have done otherwise. Be doers and not merely hearers.